But we're going to go back over in our teaching, and really this is in line. We're teaching along in a series. The Lord spoke to me and specifically gave me a title for it. He said, I want you to teach, I want you to call this Above All Things. And then he used the scripture, he quoted the scripture to me from 3 John, the verse 2, where he was a quote to me that he made from the King James Version when he spoke it. And which says from the King James, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And we talked about that scripture and using it. The Lord told me he wanted me to use this as a foundational scripture for this teaching. Now, he sure didn't tell me every place he wanted to go with this thing. It's sort of like one of the things is the Lord over the last probably about 4 or 5 years has been dealt with me more of sends me in a direction, but really doesn't tell me a lot ahead of time of what we're going to do in that direction. So I just keep my, I have to keep my antenna up sort of to find what he wants to do and talk about. And the foundation of scripture, it was a letter written to Gaius by the apostle John. And Gaius, he commended him from the standpoint of because Gaius followed the word of God. He walked in line with the word. And the Lord spoke to me about this. He said, you'll notice that this thing was written to Gaius and it was for his blessing because there was another gentleman mentioned in this. John was not, you know, speaking to him that he wanted him to prosper and be in health. And because this guy wasn't walking in line with the word, he wasn't doing what was right. And John said when he was going to show up there and he was going to deal with this guy. So today that would never happen in the church. Don't ever deal with nothing. You know, we let it go. He's going to come and deal with this boy. But anyhow, this blessing, and we talked about, the Lord told me to come and to minister along these lines. So to make a statement to a believer, and understand this, this was spoken really, to when this, the Lord said these things to me, it just took me immediately back to when I first became a Christian in the first year that I was born again. In fact, I don't think I was born again even a year. When the Lord spoke to me one time, I was just spending time with the Lord. It's like specific times when the Lord told me certain things, I can tell you right where I was at. I was my first years as a Christian, we lived at 321 Canal Street in Lebanon here. And I spent a lot of time in the bedroom. God would tell me to go to the bedroom. So go to your room. Anyhow, and I'd go to my room and I needed to. But he wanted to teach me, and he did. He taught me loads of things. I would go, and I had a portable tape player at that time. She had tapes and stuff, and I would listen to tapes, and I'd take my Bible in, and I would pray, and I would listen to tapes, and I'd pray, and I'd spend hours and hours sometimes in the bedroom just listening to tapes, reading and praying. And the Lord spoke to me and said to me concerning his people. And he said, concerning my people, he said, and he's speaking specifically to Christians, not to non-believers. To the believer, he said, he wants them, you know, to being born again. And he wants people filled with the Holy Spirit. But he said, the number one thing that I want my people to have, he says, I want my people I want them to have healing. I want them to be well. He said, when a person, he said, is sick, he said, when a believer's sick, he said, it steals their money. And he said, also, when they're sick, lots of times they can't do my will. If I want them to do things, they can't do things because they're bound up in sickness and that's dictating their life. You know, and because, you know, people today, they'll teach and say, you know, that God wants you sick for a reason. He's trying to teach you something. And it's one of the most interesting things in to really find out is when I ever ask people about, well, what is, who believe that? And when they're sick, I ask, well, what's he trying to teach you? And I always get the answer, I don't know. Well, then that makes him a lousy teacher. I mean, he's trying to teach you something, you don't know what it is, then it's impossible for you to learn something. Somebody's going to teach you something, you got to know what it is. And the other Sunday when I said that, we had a visitor, and he said, humility. I really found it was interesting because we had a neighbor lady who just passed away. And her church, and she believed that God made you sick for a reason. And I talked to her about it. And he made mentions about, well, you know, God does it to humble people. Well, it humbled her so much it killed her. It was cancer. Well, now, what did she learn, humility? Well, no, she's dead. So she didn't need humility, did she? If God's doing that, because I asked her, well, what's he teaching you? Well, I don't know. I don't know what he's trying to say. I said, well, you know, you don't know. You can't respond to God. You don't know what's going on. Saying God's did it. God did it. God's done it. And all this stuff is going on. And here we find that above all things, I mean, it's in Scripture. Why would John ever say such a thing? Above all things, God wants you to prosper and be in health. And here, really, what we find out is God really don't want that. But God's desire is for us to prosper and be in health. And that's the desire of God. Now, when we talk about it, we've been sort of on the side of this prosperity. We're going to go over into the side of health. A lot of this ties together, too, in areas we'll find out even with some things today. But when you look at this talking about prosperity, prosperity can deal in a number of different things. But the word used here to prosper is really comes from the idea or the things as you're on a road of life. In other words, you do well on your road of life. You know, you're successful on your road of life. Now, that can mean a lot of things. I mean, there's people out here who have financially prospered, but they haven't done well on the road of life, you know. I mean, just think about it. I mean, look here lately, the deaths and stuff of different people that we've had, of major people, rich people, and they died, you know, drug overdoses and everything. Is that prospering on the road to life? Now, they had millions of dollars. They had tons of money. And then, you know, understand about this. There's one thing that you need to understand. If you don't grow spiritually, I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat it a million more times. If you do not grow spiritually faster than you're getting money, you will end up following the money. And the bad thing about it is money can buy you a lot of sin and a lot of things that will hurt you if you can't handle it. And I've watched it over the years. I've watched people, I've watched Christians who were doing well as a Christian, but they started coming into money faster than they were developing spiritually. And the next thing you know, they're into things they should never be in, because the money will afford you to buy and do things that you may wish you had never done. Or bought into. And so you want to always be careful in these areas. So there's things that go in these areas. Well, I want to follow the path of Gaius. He was commended. Why? Because he followed the word of God. I'll tell you what, that's a true course. Don't follow something else. Follow the word of God. No matter what society's doing, no matter what, you know, and I'll tell you, this is the truth. And now whether people like to hear it or not, the majority of people are wrong. They always are. That's the way it is. The majority head in the wrong direction. If you follow the crowd, you're going to almost always be in the wrong direction. Almost always going to be in the wrong direction. The majority, they all want to be in the same bunch. I don't want anybody, you know, criticizing me. I don't want anybody not liking me because I won't go along with it. My friends are going this way. I want to go because I want them to like me. And I learned over the years. I mean, it never changed. People say, oh, you know, young people have it so hard today. No, they don't. When you get old, you get the same thing. It don't change. Older people act in the same way that younger people do. You don't go along with what the majority want to do, they're going to knock you and talk about you and criticize you and everything else about it because you won't do what they want to do. It don't change. You know, these people that, oh, this person has it so bad. No, man, life's the same. It's the same devil using the same people, doing all kinds of stuff. And when you're trying to walk and do what's right, you're going to have opposition. And you have a choice. Am I going to walk in what's right? Well, Gaius walked in what's right. Gaius had a leader who wasn't walking what's right, but Gaius didn't follow him. Gaius followed the word. John said, I'm going to talk to that leader when I get there. I'm going to talk to him. But see, you get people, and then what you got to learn to do. And I had to over the years. I find out, you know, I used to think there was, when I first started off as a Christian, I thought I was insane because I thought that everybody was going to be delighted that the Word of God, I thought all Christians I was going to run into, they were going to be delighted about the Word of God and following it. And I found out that wasn't true. I remember the Lord sent me specifically to go to this church to help this pastor start this church. And I thought, well, this is going to really be good. And I went there, and after the first couple Sundays there, I was thought, God, do you not like me? What did I do wrong? You sent me in here, these people, and man, they ain't going, you know. I'm not talking about them being bad people. They were the fact they loved the Lord, but they were really ignorant. I was sort of looking for a place. I was a young Christian. I'm a young Christian, and I want to go somewhere. I need to be taught and learn, and we'll get among these people. And I thought, they've been, many of them have been Christian for years. They were dumb as a stick spiritually. They know nothing. And I got over among them and I found out that a lot of them didn't want to know anything. It's pulling teeth. You know, And everybody said, you know, I'd like to teach, I'd like to do this and that. And the Lord told me that the pastor was going to come and ask me to teach the adult Sunday school class. And I thought, why would he ask me to teach? I'm a young Christian. I just born again. He's going to ask me to teach. He's got these older folks. He came and asked me to teach. The Lord said I was supposed to do it. Now everybody think, oh, it's a wonderful thing. Now you can get across these people. Let me tell you, it was like pulling teeth. It was like pulling teeth, and there's, you know, we have no anesthesia whatsoever. They're screaming and crying and bawling and squalling. I'm a young Christian, and I'm thinking, man, where am I missing it? God put me in this place to sit me here to teach these people, and to sit, and they don't want to hear it. And I thought, well, maybe I'm messed up with my teaching. But thank God there was a prophet came along that they had in the church. And they had never had this guy before. Somebody recommended they had him in. Well, I didn't know him from anybody or anything else. But he was a very big relief to me because one night in the service, minding my own business sitting there, he called me out and he prophesied to me and he said, you're a teacher sent from God. And he said, I see you. And he said, you're out here. And he said, you have like a loaf of bread. And he said, you tear pieces off and you give it to people. And he said, some are complaining. It's too hard. It's too dry. It's too this. It's too that. He said, don't worry about those people. He said, these ones will throw it back at you. He said, just take it and just what they throw back at you, give it to the people that want it. It don't bother me at all that there's people that don't like my teaching. If they throw it back in my face, I don't care. That's their problem, not mine. I'm just going to give it to the people that want it. I'm not trying to see how big of a crowd I can draw to get people to like me. I'm not trying, that's not, God never told me to do that. God never said, God gave me some bread and he said, give it to the ones that want to eat it. Well, when he spoke to me, I knew that was God. That was the biggest relief when I became free after that. I didn't care what people said about the teacher. I didn't care anymore. It's like, hold it. Some are going to like it. You can't let the people that don't like what's going on dictate anything about what you do. Because if you do, they will win every time. This is how our government got into the mess it's in. Because the people that knew to do right turned around and negotiated with the people that do evil. And I want to tell you what, the evildoer will always win if you negotiate with them. Because you will have to give up good and take some evil. And if you take some evil, it will always multiply. And after a while, you have all evil. And that's what happened to America. Full of evil because the good people compromised and wouldn't stop and say, no, I won't compromise. I'm intolerant about some things. I won't compromise. There's things I will not compromise. I won't do it. I refuse. Because one thing, I don't care who the people I stand before. There's only one important one I'm ever going to stand before is Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to answer to him. And Jesus said this himself. There's people going to come before him and say, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name. Look at, I did miracles, I did this. He's going to say, go away. I never knew you. People sitting in church pews are going to face Jesus, and he's going to say, I never knew you. Because they compromised everything about him and all their Christianity. They compromised everything out for other people, to get people to like them. The idea is to reach people. If Jesus can't reach him, don't ask Ed. I ain't God. Last time I checked, I ain't that good. All we do is we preach the gospel, and this is what we're doing. There's a road in life that we're on, and God wants us to step into a place. This year coming to, really, we have been in a time of restoration in the church. Now, I'm not talking about restoration in the church as a whole. The church as a whole has always, over the years, I remember when I came in, during the charismatic renewal, I got born again. Charismatic renewal was still going on. And as the charismatic renewal was going on, even that time period, there's always a remnant of the church that's following and flowing God, but basically the majority of the church just keeps doing the same things it always did. Whether they're wrong or not, they just keep following a path. You know, they have traditions and they'll follow their traditions, but there'll be moves of God, and in those moves of God, there's always a church movement in there of people who will follow God within that, who's after God, is moving after God. And during the revival time, there was many groups who were getting together, they were hearing God. And they were starting to move, and people moved in together. Out of that came a movement of God. And we see there was a lot of churches and church movement things started today in churches. But see, if people don't keep following God, it's like today, there's many of the churches, things, and people and ministers that come out of that movement are back today actually worse off than the people who came out of and tried to get into the movement before. In other words, they're further out there. I remember when I come again, they used to say, oh, you know, it's too much of the church world. They don't follow the Bible. You know, they don't, they only have certain parts they like. Well, now today we can say that about a lot of the church movement that came out of the charismatic move are the same way. They have all their little nice things that they like, but there's a lot of the Bible they never touch or never want to go into, because it messes up their little doctrines and their things that make them money. The church today is very political and very money-minded. It's political and it's money-minded. It's as political as the government is. And I tell you, the people at the top, they are just like, you know, we have down in Washington. We got these elitists sitting in there, and they ain't listening to nobody. Hey, we don't want nobody messing up my thing. I got my thing with all my stuff, and I got all my money, and I got all my following, and don't you touch it. Those are the people that crucified Jesus. The Pharisees, don't you come and touch our stuff. We got a system going in here, and we've been living good on this thing. Don't you come and mess with it. People don't want it touched. Well, I found out a lot of things is maybe I just, from learning coming into the kingdom, God was always sticking his hand in my stuff and always bringing things up about my stuff. You guys have heard me give testimony. You know, Wanda did something and I complained to the Lord about it, and he would remind me of what something about me, and he'd always take me over to, you got to straighten this out. You got to straighten that out. And, you know, and I was always in the things is you're going to have to examine yourself. You're going to have to do that. You can't take success, the measurement of success, whether you have money and things are looking good. You can't measure that as you're walking right. You're going to have to find out. You have to get hooked up with God to whether you're walking right. Things looking good don't mean things are going good. Loads of stuff people look think things are looking good, but they're not doing well. But God has been working in a restoration in the church, this remnant church. There's a church that has stayed with God in spite of all this nuttiness going on in America. The seeker-friendly movements came in, and those seeker-friendly movements got off. They became more sinner-minded. How do we make the sinner feel comfortable in the church? The sinner was never supposed to feel comfortable in the church. If a sinner can come and sit in a church and feel comfortable, then you're going to find this out. There's probably a lot of sin among the people who are in the church. There's going to be a lot of sin there. I remember back in the 1950s, during the healing revivals of the 1950s that I got to experience, and I was in a church group. In fact, they still exist today. They're called the United Christian. They're a very small group now. They used to be bigger, but they ended up following more of just religion. They were plain people, but they just stayed more in the religion instead of following God and got off. But during the 1950s, there was a real move of God among them, but it wasn't about anybody who was hungry for God. Kenneth Hagin used to tell us all the time, God will always move where people are hungry. If they're hungry or going after it, God will show up. So if you're hungry from God, God will show up. Most people, though, they only get hungry from God when they got a problem, and their hunger for God is fix my problem so I can go back and live like I was. Well, God don't want you to go into that place. But they got over into the things, and they had a move of God. But I remember the conviction power of the Holy Spirit back in those days would come into meetings where you were at. And I want to tell you what, if you were a sinner, if you didn't want Jesus, you needed to get out of that building. Because I want to tell you what, the conviction power of God would come in that place. And I remember I was just a young boy. That power of God would come in that place. Grown men would wail and cry in those meetings. Conviction of sin. You didn't have to have an altar call. People would run to the altars. That wasn't something that happened once in a while. That happened time and time and time again. That became a commonplace thing. The power of God would come in those meetings. Conviction of sin. The Bible says this in the New Testament. Again, this crazy apostle Paul wrote this stupid guy. He wrote and said the law was a schoolmaster to lead people to Christ. The law is the knowledge of sin, folks. If a church ain't preaching that sin's wrong and talking about the sin thing, they ain't got the gospel of Jesus Christ. They got the gospel of men. If a person does not come under the conviction of sin, they will never come to Christ. They might go through the motions of trying to be a Christian naturally, but they will never give their heart to Christ because you'll teach them that there's nothing wrong with them. I heard a major minister some time ago make a statement. He said people are generally good. Jesus Christ didn't believe that. The Bible teaches men are basically evil. I know it must be true because I know Ed before he came to Christ. He was generally really evil. I was one of the bunch that the Bible identified. People are not basically good. People are basically evil. People will basically lie to you. People will do anything to protect themselves and do whatever it is to make themselves look good and everything else. They do. That's people. Folks, that's what flesh does. Living in the flesh is self-preservation, even if it kills you. That's where it's at. But in this thing, God has been bringing restoration, and God's been restoring things. And the Lord said to me, this is 2017 for the church, and I understand this. The major move of God right now is in the church, is where God wants to do. God wants to restore Christians. Understand this. There's no point to reaching the world if there's not a good church for the sinner who gets saved to go to. It don't matter. You can, like Jesus told the Pharisees, you'll make a worse child of hell. There are churches in America today that are making worse children of hell because they lead them into their little nice little religious stuff with all their nice little things going on, but the person never changes spiritually. Never changes spiritually. I've noticed this is over the years from going to preaching here in America, going to other countries and preaching, is the hardest people to reach are people who have been religious. Are the hardest to reach, especially the religious in Christianity. They think that you're talking the things that you say, they think they know. They think they're all right when they're not. Because they've been told you're okay because you believe certain things, or you this or that, or you're a pretty nice person. You go to church, you know, and every once in a while, you know, this, that. You're generally a good person. But I found out that the hardest to reach with the truth. I can go to another nation where they have other gods that they worship, and I can preach Christ and get much better results than you can here in America. Much better. I had a terrible time when I first started going overseas. I didn't want to go. And I used to come back after that, and I used to plead with God to let me go to other countries. I don't want to preach here in America. I don't want to be here. I used to plead with him. I used to weep over it, folks. I don't want to be here. You step into places and you have the move of God and you see people are hungry from God and you come back to America and you walk in a church in America and you could puke. How little they want God. God's a little nicety on the side. It's, don't get too nice, God, because I don't want you messing up my plans and my ideas. I don't want you getting into my stuff. Leave me alone, okay? I'm doing good. Just bless me. Mind your own business. But God is restoring people. In other words, there's a road that we're walking on. Now, last year has passed. From a standpoint, you know, last year's water over the dam, isn't it? It's gone. But last year was an excellent year for me, and was an excellent year from the standpoint of change in me, of looking at things and saying, okay, what's my path from here on out? Where am I walking here? What time are we in? So one of the things is understanding the time that you're in. Your decisions are going to be made by the time that you're in. If people think that things are always just the same and they are, they're not going to be prepared for what is to come if they don't know what's to come. The future, you can't walk by faith of a future you don't know is out there. Faith is through the, you know, faith in God is having the knowledge of God. If one doesn't have the knowledge of God, they can't have faith. You can't have faith if you don't, a person couldn't have faith for healing if they don't believe God heals everybody or God wants everybody well. It's impossible for them to have faith. They couldn't have it. It's impossible because they don't know if it's His will for them to have it. So they couldn't know. And see, about our future, God's speaking things. Now, I'm not a holiday preacher. I don't tailor sermons for the holiday that's on the calendar. I don't do that. I know that's very popular. But I'm not running for popularity contest. I ask God what to be. Now, about 3 weeks ago, the Lord told me to talk today about this, what He wants, what I'm going to be ministering on. We're going to go over to the 128th Psalm. It's something that you guys have heard me talk about numbers of times. But I want to go over there because God wants to bring restoration into the church. I want you to know this is God's feeling. What good, you know, it's like the man that Jesus talked to was going to build the bigger barns. He said, you know, why gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose for shooting for things in life that is going to mess your eternity up? You know, what's the point? What's the point? Now, it sure wasn't wrong to be blessed and have a lot of stuff. I mean, Jesus' good friend Lazarus was a rich man, but he had his priorities pretty squared away. He had his priorities of life. It wasn't about his money. The man was spiritual, and we need to understand this. In the 128th Psalm, what good, you know, why do we want to reach the world when we don't have the security of our own family going to heaven? Now, don't you understand that? See, many people are shooting things. It always gets me. It's like over the years I've watched with, you know, people, Christian, they get so focused over the areas of money and giving and trying to get stuff back. And I look at their families and I think, my God, their family's on the way to hell. And they're out here and they're all focused on anything. You know, to me, that's not a prosperous road on life. You know, I like to have money in my pocket. I enjoy it. But I want to tell you what, it was interesting. And so the Lord, the 128th Psalm, which I've talked to you guys before about, the Lord told me, He said, He wants you to go over and talk because He wants to restore the church back. He wants to restore the Christian's family back. He wants the Christians to have a security about their families and their family's salvation, about their family and where their family is going to end up. He wants us to have a security about our families. And this was a thing I got. I was only born again a few months when this event took place, maybe about 3, maybe at the most 4 months. And I had gotten saved. Well, in fact, it was probably less than that because Wanda hadn't gotten saved yet. So, yeah, Wanda wasn't saved yet at the time. So I got born again. Wanda wasn't. But anyhow, I was in 321 Canal Street in the bedroom. The Lord used to tell me to go there a lot. And so I went to the bedroom. But I went up to the bedroom specifically this day to talk to the Lord because He'd had to send me there. I wanted to go there because I wanted to talk to Him because there was some people who had talked to us. They had a friend whose son, I'm pretty sure they said like he was 19 years old. Now, they were Christians. Their son was 19 years old and had never made a commitment to Christ in his life, had never done it. And he died. He was in an accident or something like that. He died. And I remember how that gripped me. I don't know, I just, because I thought about, I really got thinking about the fact that, how terrible a parent. You're a Christian. You have a security of going to heaven, and your child, now you know, is not going to ever be there. These are things the church, I'm guaranteeing, this message ain't in churches today. People aren't, they ain't starting off their New Year's like this. There's things we need to look at. You know, many times we have this tendency to what we don't want to see, we refuse to talk about, or what we don't want to deal with, we just put it under the rug somewhere, just shift it aside because I don't want to deal with it. And I'll tell you what, I wanted to deal with it because I thought, I had a wife that wasn't saved. I had a daughter, Alyssa, and a newborn, Elena was just born, had been born, it was born in March. Elena was born. And here I am, I'm thinking, gee, I said, Lord, and I said this to God very seriously. I said, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my wife and kids weren't there. I don't know if I'd want to go there. I don't know. I mean, I was serious. I don't know if I want to be in heaven. My family ain't going to be there. And I talked to the Lord serious about it. This thing troubled me terrible because I thought, man, you know, how do you do for the rest of your life to wake up and your child ain't going to be in heaven with you? And folks, I know there's a hell. I know there's one for sure. I had a neighbor committed suicide, and they didn't know what happened to him. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where's Bob at? And the Lord spoke to me just as clear It was like a voice, to me it almost seemed like an audible voice, said to me, "Bob's in hell." And I heard a wail and a cry, and I knew Bob's voice, our neighbor. We talked to him all the time, knew him and stuff. But Bob never wanted to have anything to do with Christianity. He didn't want to have nothing to do with that. I guarantee it's changed today. He wish he would have. But the wail and cry, the agony on his voice. I'm going to tell you what, it scared the hell out of me. I don't want to go there. It's a real place. It's a real place, and people are going there. And I just couldn't imagine those parents. They get up day after day for the rest of their lives till the time on this earth, knowing they'll never see their son again. Knowing they'll never see him. I don't know, that troubled me. that bugged me. And I was talking to the Lord about this thing, and I was troubled. And that's when the Lord said to me, go read the 128th Psalms, and I went over, and on the Bible, I had to, by the nightstand, I had laid my Bible on the nightstand by the bed. I went over and I got it, and I didn't even know there was that many Psalms. I didn't know there was 150 Psalms in the Bible. I was just, I'm starting out on this stuff. And I just didn't, you know, I never really paid attention to how many chapters were in it. I had read things over in the Psalms, but I never did really look. So I went over the 120th Psalm. And I read the psalm, and the psalm goes, it's blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children, peace upon Israel. And I'll never forget, because when I read this thing and I read through this thing, I mean, I can still, it's one of those things, I can still just remember. I can remember standing there reading this thing. I remember my Bible and I'm reading through this thing. And this thing just went off in me when I was reading it. And the Lord said to me when I was done, and again, it was one of those times, and you know, you don't have this, I mean, I can't say in my Christian walk, I've had a few times where it seemed to me that the Lord spoke in an audible voice that I thought that if other people would have been there, they would have heard it. I don't know if they would have or not. This voice said to me, said, if you will do what I tell you to do, I will guarantee you your family. That's what he said to me. Now, I want you to understand saying this, because the guarantee is based on the psalm. It's not based on Ed did something wonderful or this is just for Ed. He gave me a revelation from the scriptures and told me that if I do what this says, my family can be guaranteed. And it worked. It worked. My wife, honey, did I ever preach to you or try to talk to you about getting saved or nothing? Never. God said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. One of the things he had told me to do earlier was don't talk to Wanda about Christianity. She said she has no confidence in you anyway. She ain't going to listen to you. So keep your blab mouth shut. Folks, parents, keep your blab mouth shut. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. Why? I'll tell you why. Because your mouth gets you in unbelief. They retaliate against it, and it just puts you further over away from believing God. God wants 2017 to be a restoration in the church, a confidence concerning family members, a confidence of restoring the fact our families are going to be with us. My family is going to be with me in heaven. Now, I want you to see something that he said here, because the key to this whole thing was this. When the Lord said, if you'll do what I tell you to do. And what did that mean? The opening of this thing, it says, blessed is everyone who what? Fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. That is the key to the thing. Right now, one of the major problems, I would say this, the major problem in the church world today is there is no fear of God. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. And I can tell that. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. I don't have to know it. I can tell by what people do that they have no fear of God. We need to understand. He said the person who's blessed, this person, what's the blessing? To fearing God, walking in his ways. And I want you to understand this. This is hugely important because you, whatever you believe, whatever your belief system is, however you believe, is the things that you fear. Why? Because they're the things that you'll do. You see, it's just like, you know, we use the thing of just saying natural from a standpoint of fear. Gaining knowledge over time that an object is too hot, it can burn you, and understanding with it, that knowledge of you, your belief in that, will keep you, you will have a, not, it's not a bad fear, your knowledge will keep you from getting injured. Your knowledge will keep you from getting hurt. You can tell if somebody, you know, that doesn't believe certain things or they don't believe certain things, there's things that endanger them. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, the lack of knowledge he's talking about is a lack of the Word of God. They have a knowledge, but they're following their knowledge, and their knowledge kills them. Their knowledge doesn't protect them. They don't have a knowledge that gives them a good fear to protect them. You know, you take a child and you don't ever train them right and do right. They will do things that get them in trouble and also endanger their lives. They don't have a good fear of things. I see today adults don't have a good fear of things. You know, the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. I watch people do things that I know down the line they're going to pay a dear price for what they have done. And I watch people with their children, as I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, you watch what people do in raising their children. He said, I can tell you how they'll turn out. Just watch how they deal with them when they're young, and you're going to know how it's going to turn out. And he said, I've been right every time. And I started watching with people, and it turns out that way. You watch when people's knowledge is wrong, they don't have a fear against doing certain things that will endanger them. You need to understand this. The Word of God is your protection. Today, the Word of God is not upheld in the church world. It's not upheld to what it is. Oh, you know, it's, oh, well, God didn't mean this, or He didn't mean that. Or, you know, that was for them back then. I'm going to tell you, the law of sin and death hasn't changed just because we got grace. Sin is still wrong. It's still wrong to lie, cheat, murder. It's still wrong. Homosexuality is still wrong. You know, adultery is still wrong. Fornication is still wrong. It's still sin. It's not a problem. It's called sin. And if sin is not dealt with, it's going to cause you a problem. Because sin, undealt with, leaves you in a bad place because the Bible talks about in the New Testament that judgment will come. In other words, it's going to cause a problem. And it's that problem is because there's not fear of the Lord. Now, this is a wonderful thing. The fear of the Lord. In other words, God was telling me, He said, now, if I have this knowledge, if I have a knowledge of God, then I walk in that knowledge. You're going to walk in whatever your knowledge is. You can sit and quote scriptures, but you actually live another knowledge. The Bible has to become your knowledge and knowledge in what you walk in. I understood that. When the Lord spoke to me, if you'll do what I tell you to do, well, I knew what it was. It wasn't just God speak to me, yo, Ed, you go ahead and go here, there, and you don't ignore the word. Don't just ignore the word. Ignore what it says. Wait a minute. No, I knew what it was. The fear of the Lord is a reverence for the Word of God and upholding its knowledge, upholding that knowledge of that Word. And upholding that knowledge of that Word, what God was doing was not making me afraid or to live in worry and things. He's released me from the worry. From that day on, I never worried again about whether my wife or my children were going to end up in heaven. I never worried another day about that. Never thought another thing of. Why? Because I had the fear of the Lord. I believe what the Word said. He gave me the Word, and I believe what it said. He said, the man who fears the Lord walks in his way. His wife's going to be a fruitful vine by his house and children's olive plants around his table. I knew I was guaranteed. That's what it's going to be for the guy who fears the Lord. The guy who fears the Lord, this is the way it turns out. I had a guarantee. It was given by God. It's written in the book. It's written down. See, people can argue with me all they want. It's written in the book. I'm sorry. It's already written in there. It's not just for Ed. It's for anybody that will believe the word. I don't worry about my children. I can't worry about those things. God gave promise. The big thing that I'm supposed to do in life, again, and I've talked to you guys about this, the biggest thing you need to do in life is quit worrying about other people and make sure you walk right. We live for Christ for other people. I walk with Christ for the sake of my family, and not just my family, for the church family, but we do it for others. You can't have a move of God and God moving through a people who don't follow the word. It's not going to happen. It never will. If we want a move of God, it's because what? We're going to walk in His ways. We fear what His word. God's word is my fear, and not for the same, I'm afraid. God's word is the thing that I build a foundation on of what I'm going to believe and walk in. It's the word of God. By doing that, I prove that I have fear of the Lord. Anybody who doesn't walk in what the word says does not fear God. Now, they may do it ignorantly, but nonetheless, they don't have fear of the Lord, even though they want to be nice. You have to get the word in you. You get the word in you. And see, God doesn't want the church. The church is trying to, you know, I have never prayed for my family like other people talk about praying for their family. And I've seen more sin and stuff and my relatives and doing things and stuff going on. Don't bother me in the least. God didn't tell me that my thing was if I just pray enough, He might be able to get them in. He told me, Ed, if you walk right, I'll guarantee it for you. I want to tell you what, many Christians through their prayer life has kept God from being able to reach their families. Kenneth Hagin talked about it happening. Kenneth Hagin talked about, he used an example of his, he had an uncle. And his uncle was, I guess, got sick. He was a very guy, he was like a president of a bank or something. He was worth some money and stuff. He was worth money, but he had gotten sick and he was in bad shape and stuff. And Kenneth Hagin was driving down the street, hadn't seen his uncle for years, was in the town. He did want to see him, but here his uncle was walking down the street in the town near the bank. And he saw him and he goes, oh my God, I can't remember the man's name was. But he said, oh Lord, save Uncle so-and-so. Because he said the guy looked terrible. You know, he's been sick and he's not been doing good. Oh Lord, save brother, you know, my Uncle so-and-so. And the Lord said to him, I've been trying to. But the Lord went on to talk to him about his praying. You're just saying, Lord, save Uncle so-and-so. And the Lord went on and told him about praying, about what the way he was supposed to pray, what he was supposed to do concerning his uncle. Told him. In other words, all the praying, and he kind of thinking said this, man, I've been praying for people and I wasn't doing them any good. Why? Because he wasn't praying in line with the Bible. See, many people think just because I pray, God's impressed. God, if it is not in line with the word, there's no fear of God in it. There's no reverence toward God in it. It's my ideas blowing my things that I want God to do with no knowledge of God. It's number one, gaining the knowledge of God. The greatest problem right now, one of the greatest problems in American church, one of the things at the top, there's no doctrine taught in the church anymore. Doctrines aren't taught. Now, we like these nice little fluff sermons that make us feel good, make us feel great when we're living like hell, make us feel wonderful, but there's no doctrine, there's no foundation. I talk to people, I'm just astonished of how they really don't know the doctrines of the Bible. They don't know, you know, oh, my sins are forgiven. Well, big deal, Israel had that. Under grace, if that's all you know, you don't know nothing. Your sins are forgiven. What on earth does that mean? My words, Israel got their sins forgiven before Jesus Christ ever come. If that's all it was, a sin forgiven, Jesus Christ should have stayed at home. And the church world lives like he stayed at home. They live like the guy never showed up. But there's a fear of the Lord. Now I want to read you from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I want to read some scriptures to you here. These are good scriptures. You'll see the success of Jesus Christ, and you'll see why. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, this is a prophecy about the Messiah. So we know this about Jesus. It's a prophecy of what the Messiah is going to be. It says in verse 1, there shall come from a rod from the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, he said, and a branch shall grow out of his root. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of the eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears, But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. I want you to see this. What is his delight? What are people preached to have today to have the delight in? Have you everybody telling you that your delight ought to be the fear of the Lord? Are they preaching that one? Our delight should be in the fear of the Lord. Delight. This is his delight is in the fear of the Lord. It's his delight. See, he had a reverence to the knowledge of God, and he had a reverence toward his Father. He had a reverence, but it's based in the knowledge of God. Look at that. He's going to have the spirit of knowledge. And what? And of the fear of the Lord. You're going to have a lot of knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord. You're going to have that. We gain knowledge of the Word of God. So we take on this knowledge, gives us a reverence. It gives us of what we fear. You know, you've heard me use this. If a person's, we're standing in this building today. If you really believed in your heart that this roof was going to collapse, what would you do? You'd run out the door. If you went to a Christian today who really believed, and they're practicing adultery, fornication, or something like that, and you told them about it and said it was wrong, you could tell whether they fear the Lord, whether they quit it or not. You could tell whether they had any fear of God. They believed it was going to do something, that something would happen because they do it, that they were going to, there was judgment going to come, there was things going to be dealt with. You could tell by what people do. I hear people telling me all over the years, I've watched many people tell me the stuff that they believed, but I watched what they did and knew what they believed. Confession is wonderful if you live it. Confession not lived ain't worth spit. It's not worth anything because it won't produce anything. Confession that is not acted upon does not produce. You want to act on the Word of God. Why? That's I fear the Lord. When I understood when the Lord spoke to me about this. Now, actually, you go on to read there. The fourth verse says, "He will his righteousness, he judged the poor." Now, this tells about the Messiah, and this verse speaks of his coming or his second advent to set up his kingdom. Look what it says. "And decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked." Ooh, what happened to the Jesus, the barefooted guy carrying the sheep? I don't see the picture. When Jesus Christ returns in his second advent, the Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Do you think God don't love anymore? God can't ever change. God is love. God don't have love. He is. And you know what? Eventually, God will destroy the wicked. It's funny how he ties it into these are the people who don't fear the Lord. These are the people who don't fear the Lord. See, you and I want it. Why? This fear of the Lord lays down a guarantee to us. When you and I decide that the Word of God is what it says it is, and we decided to walk in it, I believe that's what we decided to do, didn't we? That's our fear of God. See, there's all kinds of people say they fear God or they use those terms. They use fear and they just use it over from the standpoint of reverence. No man reverence God who doesn't honor his word. They have no reverence for him. You know, it's just like in the old days when he had kings, you know, the guy could come down and bow before him and call him Lord, but if he hated his guts and wasn't going to listen to what he said, that was all fake and a sham. And we need to know. We honor the Word of God. This is what, and I'm not talking about being perfect. I never missed it. But I want to tell you what I learned. God made a guarantee that if I would set myself to do His will or to do, follow what He wanted, follow His way, walk in His way, if I would do that, He would guarantee me my family. You know, as many people are really walking in the way of the Lord, but they have no faith. They're still acting like somehow maybe my family might make it or maybe they won't. Because they don't walk in the knowledge of the Word. They have no fear in the Lord because they don't have any knowledge. We need to understand these scriptures were not given to Ed Gibson for Ed Gibson. These are scriptures written for any believer. This is for the believer. This is for the church. It's for the church. As our thing is, I'm going to walk and follow God. I don't know what anybody else is going to do. I'm going to walk and follow the Lord. I'm going to walk in His ways. Because the Lord said this to me, I will guarantee you your family. Now, when the Lord spoke to me about, now he was, at that time was talking to me about Wanda and my kids. And it was a couple years later, 1983, when I was praying. I was downstairs in the living room, and Wanda and all of them were in bed, and I'm by myself downstairs, and all the lights were out, and I was praying in the living room. I know where I said, I was kneeling on the floor in the middle of the living room praying. And I don't always kneel to pray, but sometimes I do. And I was kneeling and just praying and asking the Lord, because he had been dealing with me about some things, talking to me about the anointing, and that was this was in June, and in July, I was going out to camp meeting, and he had been talking to me about going out there. I was going to get an anointing. I was talking to God about that. I wasn't praying about something else or other things. I was just asking the Lord. I wanted to know what I was supposed to do and make sure that, you know, because he told me if I walk in his way and I do what he tells me to do, and he told me to go out there to that camp meeting. So I was going to obey him and go there and do that. There's parts of stories that I almost disobeyed on that and got in trouble, and that's when the voice of the Lord spoke in the Reese Candy Company that I would have definitely thought everybody heard, with the voice sore thundered. I'll tell you, that day I had the fear of the Lord. It scared this boy out. I was shaking in my boots. I know what the prophets talked about, and they quaked and they wanted to fall on their face. I know what that's about. Anyhow, but I was just praying, and that's when the Lord spoke to me. He said, because you've done what I've told you to do, he said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. So he said to me, again, see, you can pray all you want. I never did do a lot of praying about my brothers and sisters. I would pray at times about them, but I would, most of the time when I go to prayer, I pray with God, what's on your heart? You know more about what I need than I do. But many times things that I think I need, I find out that ain't what I'm supposed to be praying about at all. I found out I got my needs met better when I would let God direct my prayer life a little bit more. I get my needs taken care of a whole lot better in that area. Because lots of times I just look at what I can see with my eye and I don't always see what's going on. Maybe you guys are brighter, I'm not. Anyhow, but I'm praying and the Lord spoke that to me. And you know, when the Lord spoke that to me, I have never really prayed about my brothers and sisters ever since that time. You know what I want? If ever I want to talk to the Lord about my brothers and sisters, I just remind him of what he said to me that night. And I just say this to him, Lord, if I've missed it and I'm not walking like I'm supposed to do, you let me know, I'll correct what I need to do. You just do that. See, you walk in his way. See, our prayer lives are usually trying to correct somebody else's or some other problem. And it's wasted prayer life. Well, lots of times we should be finding out what we need to do to be right, not the other guy. The best thing that I ever did for my family, my wife and kids, and for my brothers and sisters, the greatest thing I ever did for them was not to pray for them all the time. It was to do the will of God in my life. That's the greatest thing I ever did for them. Now, I thank God I learned that as a young Christian. Is my life, how I live, it's going to have more effect on them. God will bless me. Just think about this. The Lord dealt with me with this. When I asked the Lord about why I hadn't died when I first got saved, I didn't want to know. I'd been in Vietnam, didn't get injured or nothing. You know, the worst thing I ever had maybe was a splinter or something. That's, you know, nothing. I didn't have anything happen to me. But you know, in life, and I mean, I was a druggie, I overdosed, and I did all kind of things in my life. I was an alcoholic, I drove like an idiot. If anybody tried to kill themselves in a car, it was me. I would try anything in a car. I'll tell you, you'd get me high on a wheel of a car, and we would just, you know, I was Chitwood. I'd try to jump stuff and everything. I didn't care. I'll tell you, I'm having a good time. Give me a car, and we're going to be driving it. I mean, if a car didn't go over 100 miles an hour, it wasn't worth owning. You know, you didn't own anything, it didn't go fast. If it didn't go fast, my words, it's junk. It is, you know. Surely I didn't own Chevettes. I didn't, you know. You just drive, and if you had a Chevette, I'd have ran it till the wheels fell off of it. I'll tell you. That's my life. But when I got saved, I don't know, maybe I thought different than other people did. When I got saved, the things just came. I was only just got born again, not even a few weeks, and I said, Lord, how come I ain't dead? I should have died in sin. I should have been dead. I have friends that died. I have guys that did a whole lot less than the crazy things I did in life and the stupid things that I did in life, and they died. And I said, God, why am I alive? I'm alive. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you're alive because your father. He said, your father walked right before me. And he said, you're alive because of him. My life was spared because my dad walked right. And then the Lord said this, because I question this. Well, you know, is there any kind of scriptural foundation for it? Because look, God can't just pick and choose somebody out. We have this nonsense. Well, God did this special for this person because they're called to this. That. If you believe that, you're never going to walk in the fear of the Lord. You're never going to walk in the knowledge of God because you're going to believe it's for everybody else, not you. The Lord said to me this. He took me back and he said, Noah, he said, I said Noah was righteous, but he said the scriptures never say that his wife or sons were righteous. He said, I spared Noah's family because Noah was righteous. Well, I thought, well, I got to go back. I went back and read the book. He's exactly right. It don't say it. His wife was righteous and his sons were righteous. We know that one of his sons specifically wasn't righteous. Scriptures prove that. Yet he got saved through the flood. Why? Because his daddy walked right before him. See, well, that's why we walk right, people. People, that's why we walk right. Because this guarantees things. My dad saved my life so I could get born again. My dad saved my life. And you know what? I thought my dad was an idiot. I thought his religious nut. I'm glad my daddy wasn't like the most of the Christians today trying to please everybody else around him. He followed God and people didn't like him. But he saved his son's life. He saved the life of every one of his sons and daughters, 9 of them. He saved their life. Every one of them is going to be, every one of them is coming into the kingdom. Every one of them will be saved. It didn't start with Ed. It started with my dad. My dad walked right. Hallelujah. I don't know if he understood or ever read the 128th Psalm. I don't know, but my dad read the Bible often. He'd read it, be reading it every day. My dad would have the Bible. He would come in, lay down on the sofa, and have his Bible. He'd fall asleep and snore, but then he'd wake up and read the Bible some more, and he'd fall asleep, snore, but he'd wake up, read the Bible. He read the Bible all the time. He did that kind of stuff. And he would do those things. I don't know if he ever read or knew that scripture, but his life saved my life. I'm going to tell you the guarantee. His life saved my life. He walked in the light that he had. Hallelujah. I want to read to you about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And I'm going to read you some wisdom here. This is some good wisdom. We'll just quickly go through these things about the fear. Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. I'm just going to get down through these. Proverbs 10:27. You can write these down. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked it will be shortened. See, when anybody tells you and says, well, your days are numbered, and they use a thing from a scripture said, which is out of context, this tells you you can prolong your days or shorten your days by how you live. You can prolong them or you can shorten. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Surely that's true. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is walking in the Word of God. What does it say? You're going to have strong confidence. That means your faith's going to be strong. Confidence. Faith is about confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition we requested of Him. This crazy John guy wrote that. And I'm sure the churches that have St. John on them don't believe that scripture. They don't preach that one. That crazy John wrote it, but we want to stay away from it. Because you never know what God might do. No, the fear of the Lord brings confidence. The fear of the Lord isn't something that makes you walk around and want to hide from God. The fear of the Lord draws you right close to God. The fear of the Lord makes you want to be, you honor His wisdom and His knowledge, and you honor it and you're living it. And it's producing things for you. It produces blessing. The guy's blessed who fears the Lord. If people ain't getting blessings from God, they have a fear of God problem. They have a word problem. They don't have confidence. Listen to this. Proverbs 14, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." See, the fear of the Lord will keep you from doing crazy things that will kill you. People who are living in things of death, they're not walking in the fear of the Lord. Christians who are doing things that lead to death don't fear God. That's their problem. There's no fear of the Lord. They're walking in another knowledge. They're walking in another thing. Oh, they'll tell you they love God. They do this. Jesus said this. This crazy guy, his name's Jesus. Now, he's Lord of heaven and earth, seated at the right hand of God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, you'll keep my word. See, man, plenty of people tell God, they say they love God. Yeah, they love God. Well, that's proof their lives prove they don't love God because they don't keep the word of God. If you fear God, you're keeping his word. That's what you're doing. Proverbs 15, 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. Amen to that. Proverbs 16, 6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. People think today that it's okay that you could just sin and, well, you're already forgiven and all that kind of stuff. This scripture proves that is evil. Anybody preaching that stuff is preaching evil. Anybody that's preaching evil. True fear of the Lord and then true knowledge of the God always leads you away from evil, not saying it's okay to do it. It will never do that. It will never do that. Never. It's unscriptural. Proverbs 24:4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. We wouldn't have to do so much chasing after riches and honor. What you do is the fear of the Lord. These are the things that bring, in other words, but the humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. In other words, those things come from that. They come from that. They don't come from how much money you've just put in the plate. Thank God. You know, we know about, you know, giving, the measure you give, but that ain't the whole thing. You can give a lot and get nothing from God. People who don't fear the Lord have themselves a real problem. They can throw money in a plate, money in a plate, and they're going to have to go after money just like the world goes for money. They're going to have to do it. These things go with it. To me, these are the greatest reliefs in life because I'm not always trying to make stuff work for me. I don't have to try to make... If I have the fear of the Lord and I'm walking in the knowledge of God, if I'm walking in those things, stuff will come to me. You know, just think about it. Look over in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 28. What were they told? If you follow the word of God, if you follow the law and you do what it says, these things, blessings will overtake you. They didn't have to try to get it to work for them. Dear Lord, we work terribly hard at this stuff trying to get things from God, talking about faith. No, you walk in the Word. That's the fear of God. That's the fear of the Lord when you're walking in the Word and you need to get in faith. Money's after you. The things you need are your health. Your health and everything. It's something that comes with that. It comes with it. It's the byproduct of it. We got our faith misplaced. Our faith is always trying to grab something that is ours already, that belongs to us, that should tag along after us. You know, it's like the book, you know, Money Cometh. It's not, you know, we're trying to keep kind of get it here, trying to get it here. You've got to change our believing. We've got to change the way we view the Word of God. We're always trying to do something to get from God instead of just obeying what He said to do. Believe His Word and walk in His Word. I'll be blessed. I've watched this among people. I've watched different groups of people. I've often seen this. You know, even like say among the Mennonite people. There's many among the Mennonite people who walk right, do good people. I watch, they have blessed lives. They have blessed children. They got blessed. How did that all happen? They didn't hear the latest faith message. But it worked. It worked. Why? They walked in the light that they had. They walked before God. And I see loads of Mennonite people, man, their kids come and follow God. Even if they don't follow the Mennonite, they follow, come and follow God. What happened? How did that go? Thank God that people that would walk, they had an honor for God. They had an honor for what they knew. Even though they didn't know everything, there's an honor of God they have. Today, we don't have that in the charismatic. The charismatic kids live like hell. It was why? Because the people don't honor God by walking in the Word. They're always trying to believe for this and believe for that and believe for the other thing. That's not what God's called us to do. We can believe for things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the number one on the agenda. To get our needs met, you know, God, you know, Jesus told the disciple, the food and clothing things, you wouldn't be praying about that. He said, if you seek the kingdom, that stuff's added. That's added to you. He didn't say you had to believe for it. That's addition. Oh, good preaching anyhow. Yet. I'll tell you, hallelujah. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord, he said, are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be what? Zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. We may not have known it, but being taught to go after the Word of God and follow and honor the Word of God, we were being taught the fear of the Lord. But we haven't been taught. And, you know, it's like, maybe I should have taught. I understood a lot of these things over the years because of God called me. But people don't, even though we were doing it, we were trying to make things work and happen that God wants you to just sit and rest. And he'll make it work for us. Psalm 128 will work for any believer. It don't say, well, some believers this will work for and some don't. Some people who fear the Lord walk in his ways, this ain't going to work for them. This is only just a certain crowd that would have this happen. It doesn't say that. You know, in Acts, the ninth chapter, anyhow, starting at verse 26, it talks about Saul, who we later known as Paul. He first got saved. They took him down to Jerusalem, and all of them were scared of him because they thought he was lying about being a Christian. He got saved. They're always lying about it. And Barnabas picked him up and took him, you know, along. But he goes on and tells about him. You know, they tried to kill him, and then they took him to Tarsus. But I want you to see what verse 31 says, this wonderful scripture here. This is verse 31 of Acts 9. Says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Where were they walking in? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. I'll tell you, God wants to restore this year. God wants to restore things that have been let go. There's been too much narrow teaching on how to get things. They're just narrow little things that have been taught. But God wants you to come in faith concerning your loved ones, especially your personal family. Number one, you want your personal family in heaven. Ask God what you're supposed to do. You know, if God tells you to talk to somebody in one of your personal family, then you go ahead and do it. But we don't just do things because we want to do it or we think we're supposed to. We've been one of the greatest detriments. We've helped them in their ways to do their stuff. You know? We think we got it. We got to, you know, we're going to show them our love, so we're going to take care of them and do things for them to help them sin some more. We can give them money so they can help them sin, you know, so they can do more sinning. Because, you know, if they blow all their money doing it, we'll give them some more. So, you know, in their sin, we'll give them some more so they can just spend some more money on sin and that stuff. We don't look at them and say, no. My dad wouldn't have gave me money to buy drugs. He wouldn't have done that. My dad wouldn't have, he wouldn't have done them things, trying to show me he loved me. And that's one of the things there's one thing my father did. There was always a thing concerning my dad because We knew, even as in my life as a sinner, I knew my dad wouldn't cross certain lines, so it wasn't no use trying. There's lines he would never cross. There was lines he wouldn't cross. Your family needs to know about you that there's lines that you won't cross. You know, I've always had love for God. I don't care if my family, whether how they felt about it or anything else or whatever's going on or anything like that or happening. We got to watch what we do for what we call family, trying to even be nice to them and that stuff. We got to watch what we do. You know, it's one of the things, you know, like with me, it's just like family and that stuff. They have, this past Christmas here, we had a family get together the Sunday before Christmas. They had a get together. And I mean, my brother knows this, that, you know, different times people say, well, why'd you just take off? You can take off church one Sunday and go do this or that. And yeah, I can take off. But, you know, I have a family. I thank God for my physical family, but the church family is my number one family. See, when you get things worked out right, your physical families, a lot will get changed when you work out what's really true and what's right. I'm going to spend eternity with my church family. That's what I'm going to spend eternity with. And you know, when they came and my own brother came and asked about setting up, well, he said, we want to set up a time and have this. When can you be there? He knew for sure. So, because, you know, I tell him, I said, I'm going to church. I have nothing against, you know, visiting fellowship with your family and doing stuff. I like to do it. It's nice. We always have a nice time. I do, but one thing it is, I want fellowship with God before that. I mean, that comes on the list higher. I want God to know that he is in a higher position than any of my family. I want him to know that he holds a higher position than my wife or my children do. I want him to know that. He does. Why? If I do, they'll be blessed. They will be blessed. They'll be blessed. He'll see to it. The best thing they could ever want is me to have the fear of the Lord. That's the best thing they could ever want is me to have the fear of the Lord, because they'll be blessed. So they learn over the years, you know. I don't care if relatives showed up and they don't, you know, maybe they don't go to church. Well, I'm going to church. If we're going to do anything that day, they're going to wait till I'm done. Me and God, because I want them to know one thing. I love the Lord more than I do them. If we give sway to them, you know what they think? I hold authority here. That's what they think. You, yeah? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, we have all kinds of times we can do stuff. We got the family of God. It's important. It's important. I've watched it over the years. I've watched people over the years. It's important. Set things straight. Set things right. It doesn't matter the time to do things and stuff, but I'm just telling you, make sure. Don't set a pattern in your life to please other people. You make your pattern to please God. Make that the number one thing on your list. You make that the number one thing on your list. Make that the number one. I'm going to please God. I'm going to fear the Lord and walk in His way. Why? Because I want my family blessed. I want my family following God. I want my family in heaven with me. In this life, my dad was not popular in the family. And even some of the Christian ones in our family don't get it to this day. Because he was religious. Well, I tell you, that crazy religious man got them in the kingdom. Because most of them would have never been alive. He walked right. I tell you, I don't care what people think about it. I have an agenda. And my agenda is more important than all the rest of the things a lot of people are doing out here. Mine's more important because mine stands in the place of eternal. Everybody's trying to get temporal junk, temporal stuff, get it fixed, little fixed, put another Band-Aid on it now. I don't want a Band-Aid on it. I want eternally fixed. And the Lord taught me how to eternally fix things. That's what I want. I want eternal fixed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My offspring, my brothers and my sisters will be in heaven. God said so. If they ain't going to be there, he's a liar. Well, we know it's impossible for God to lie. So I don't have any kind of worry. I'll tell you, it's one thing, I'll take all the fret and worry of, you look out there and see if they're doing, if I look out there, you know, I have an older brother, and he ain't going to be on the earth much longer. Thank God, you know, he's living as long as he did, because thank God he had a daddy who walked right. Well, he's going to be saved, and he ain't saved yet. I mean, he's complete heathen. He's complete. He don't want to have anybody talking to him about God or anything. But I already had one sister didn't want that. And she ended up getting saved and going to heaven on her deathbed because she found out, you know, glory to God, God got her saved. Say, oh, well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we're just going to hold a prayer meeting for him. I'm not. I'm going to hold a prayer meeting. It's finding out what it needs to do to walk with God. Because the promise is already in. The promise is in. Lord, I'm going to walk with you. You know what I do about him? Am I fearing the Lord concerning my brother? I always thank God for saving my brother. I just thank him. My brother Harold's saved. Hallelujah. He's going to be in heaven. When I get to heaven, he's going to be there. Glory to God. Harold's going to be there. That's my talking to God about it. See, do you want you to come to that place? When you look concerning your loved ones, you say, praise. You know, they're acting like hell, but praise God, they're going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, your word says... I go to God. I say, God, I remember that 128 Psalm thing. I remember that good. Hallelujah. And I fear you, Lord God. I walk in your ways. Things look terrible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Things might look rough here in life, but I'll tell you what. It would be a lot rougher if they didn't end up in heaven. I want them in heaven. Glory to God. My sister, oldest sister, left this earth after all the years. She had never had nothing to do with anybody talking about Christ. She didn't want to hear a thing about it. She wouldn't know nothing about it, any of that stuff. And then she got saved. I mean, I thought my words when my parents saw her come across. Hallelujah. What that must have been. All those years she didn't want anything to do with God. Hallelujah. What a joy. Glory to God. My mom and dad are going to see their children in heaven. Hallelujah. Their children are going to be in heaven. Glory to God. Your children can be in heaven too, folks. Your children get over in the area to the fear of the Lord, to walk in His way. Hallelujah. Fear the Lord. That's the thing of it is fear the Lord. Walk in His way. That's how you fear the Lord. You walk. Find out what the knowledge of God is and walk in it. Find out what it is and you walk in that. And you keep walking in that. Hallelujah. And the rest of the word's true. Hallelujah. See, there's a lot we can do with calling our loved ones in rather than turning around and trying to work to try to pray them in. You know, sometimes you got to bind devils over them. You can sit and talk to them all you want. Does that work? Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. See, you got to deal with these things spiritually and not physically. You need to know. Your kids grow up, they think you're an idiot. You're an old fogey, you don't know no better. They don't know they're dumb as a stick, they ain't got a clue in life, and they think they're geniuses. I remember I was there, I thought my parents were idiots. I remember that. I got saved and found out I was the biggest idiot in town. I was just the biggest idiot there was. So are you. Hallelujah. See, you walk and follow God. All I got concerning my family and being in heaven is faith. I don't have nothing else about it. They're going to be there in heaven. And that's what you want to come to. That's with God. You speak concerning these things. You start talking by faith. Lord God, I'm in your will and I'm walking in your will. Hallelujah. My wife is a fruitful vine by the house. My children is olive plants around the lake. Lord, you told me in 1983, June 19th, you told me you're going to bring my whole family in, all my brothers and sisters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And not long ago, I had a brother-in-law. Never had nothing to do with God, never had anything to do, never listened to anything. He died. But right before he died, he accepted Jesus Christ. Absolutely revolutionized his life, just changed him. Right before he died, and my God, he got saved, and just what a change in a man. He was a guy, never had anything. He was crazy. He was, you know, you sit around and talk with him and that stuff. He was always talking something stupid. He was always talking something dumb. But anyhow, he got saved, just absolutely changed him. Died, went off to be off to heaven. Now his wife is saved. His wife was saved. But you know, she never walked in the fear of the Lord from the standpoint, she never had much knowledge of God. Never really went to a church where she got the knowledge of God of much of anything. Hallelujah. One member of a family would walk in the knowledge of God. One member of a family would walk in the knowledge of God. One member of a family would walk in the knowledge of God. What happens if more than one? What happens? Hallelujah. This is one thing that's been proved over the statistically, that the majority of the people who get born again are born again. There's always members within their family who are saved. There's only something, a couple of percent of people who actually usually get born again without somebody in the family already born again. The influence of faith in God is phenomenal. And the church has not walked in it believing in it. The church has always walked like they're lacking, like we're the guys, you know, just trying to get by. We're so busy trying to get people, wanting to get people saved. Our idea of getting people saved is trying to get people to like us, trying to get people to, you know, we want to conform to what they want because we're trying to reach them. We're trying to do all this stuff. And we miss the whole thing is to walk in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, God, I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm walking in your way. You gave me promise. Hallelujah. I'm standing on the promise. I want you to do that. God wants this year to be a great restoration for the believers. He wants a great restoration for the believers for this year. He wants believers, hallelujah, that this year we step into the place. This is faith in God. We're not trying to do it like we did other years. We're not trying to get. God is moving in this direction. This is a direction God's going. This is the direction. I'm sticking with his direction. This is the direction, the flow that he's in, is to restore to the church. To restore to the church. There's no use getting people. See, the world ain't going to get restored. They need saved. They need to become new creations. But there's a restoration that needs to come to the church. Hallelujah. And that restoration, we've had to the church because of the ignorance of things that have gone on and the directions that ministers and ministries have gone. It has robbed from the church. It's allowed the devil to come in and steal, to steal in the church and to take from the church. And it's time for us to take it back, for us to stand up and say, God, I'll tell you, you know, maybe the canker worm ate this, but it don't matter, Lord God. Hallelujah. You're going to restore to us. This is it doesn't matter what it looks like with my loved one. Lord God, I'm going to walk in your way. I'm going to fear the Lord and walk in your way. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Take that thing, and you don't have to worry about the fears of what's going on out here, whatever sin and everybody else is following in, whatever the world wants to do and wants to legalize any sin that you can think of and any kind of weird stuff you want to think of. You know, we got weirdos in our Congress that want to turn around and pass things like to turn around. People can marry animals. Well, they think that people, well, everybody ought to be able to do what you want. I'm going to tell you what, we got in Washington, in our states and stuff, in this nation, more ignoramuses than a little bit. And the church sits around and tries to play up to these people and stuff. We got more sick perverts. We need to stand up and say, I want them to know that Ed Gibson don't go along with it. I don't mind putting it online. I'm sure that, you know, the government can find out what I'm preaching. But I want to know. I don't care. I ain't going to hide it. I ain't going to try to say they didn't know. You think, hadn't people asked, somebody asked me if you ought to put some of this stuff, you think you ought to put that online? I say, sure enough, that's what I want to put online. I want somebody, I'm not going to hide around this stuff. I'm not politically correct. Thank you. And I ain't going to get politically correct. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get more in division on a lot of things. Because they're wrong. We need to draw the lines. God is not trying to bring everybody in together into this nation. I want you to know God is not in that. God is into this. He's into separating. I didn't bring peace, but a sword. There's two camps in this world. And I'm going to tell you what, the people in the middle are not in God's camp. The Lord told me when I got born again, right before I got born again, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. That's a term you see. Well, they're a closet Christian. He said, they're not a closet Christian. He said, he told me this. He said, the word says, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. If you're hiding it, it's because you're a sinner. There ain't closet Christians. You're going to find it's going to come out more and more. You might as well just jump into it with both feet, and this is the way it's going to be, because the dividing is already started. The dividing. I'll tell you what, God brought a division into this nation, the election. He is not trying to get people to tolerate one another. He does not want people tolerating a lot of this junk. He don't want them. We're not going to cross. I'm not crossing the aisle with the heathen and shaking his hand and telling him, yeah, we can work together. I want him to know, as long as he acts like he does, we ain't got no place to work together. I want him to know that I will not compromise truth to make him happy. I will not do it, and I won't do it to make anybody happen, even family. The best I can do for my family is walk right. That's what you do. You walk right. You do what's right. Get the sword out. Get the sword out, folks. Let's stand to our feet.